And welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, October 20th, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's media partner is Essential Wholesale. Get your bulk cosmetics manufactured for you. Why spend time doing it yourself when someone else can do it for you and take all the headache out of it? Visit EssentialWholesale.com to learn more. Well, today I am thrilled to announce the launch of the Indie Beauty Network's new social networking home at IndieBeauty.com. Our flagship site is still open at IndieBeautyNetwork.com, but IndieBeauty.com is the place where we have created a robust network where people can come and collaborate with our members, and our members can show off their products. Please head on over. Anyone can join, but you know I have to sweeten the pot for my indies. Only members of the Indie Beauty Network can get their own branded community page, and I'm so excited about that. We also have a private networking area at the website for members only. I launched the site Friday night, and within 24 hours, there were over 100 people signed up to connect, and about 25 members had created their branded pages, so it's really exciting. I have to tell you, I am over the moon. I'm especially excited, though, because today's guest is a social networking expert, and he is in part responsible for my announcement today based on a conversation we had a while back. We're going to share a little bit about that with you, but he is going to share his best tips for how you can use our social site as well as any other social networking platform to expand and grow your business. Our guest today is online marketing strategist Gary Hall. Gary is a popular and sought-after speaker on the social media circuit, and he has a 10-year record of achievement as an internet strategist, entrepreneur, business developer, and he's also a knowledgeable resource, of course, in the social media space, and that's why I wanted him to be here. He serves as one of the executive consultants at Pringo, a social networking platform. He's currently on the board of directors at DigitalTown and is also an active owner in Reunion.com. Gary has helped many businesses incorporate social networking into their marketing plans, and he's here today to share his best tips for how indie businesses can use social media as a tool to expand. We'll take your questions and comments. Do join us, 800-773-0355, or you can email your question to me at info@indiebusinessradio.com. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Gary.
Hi, how are you, Don?
I'm real good. So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit. Your bio, Gary, says that you are an expert in social media. Tell us, what is your definition of social media?
Social media is just providing an area where people can utilize the tool sets of bringing more communication into your environment and getting feedback from your users. A lot of these social media tools are geared around user-generated content. Getting feedback from users and providing a tool set to hear what your users want, hear what your users are commenting on different products and services that you offer. It's just where the internet's always been a static environment, now it's a multimedia environment because there's so many different vehicles for communication.
And Gary, what are some of the examples? I know there's tons of examples of social media, but let's narrow it down a little bit and talk about some of the ones that you feel are most popular and useful for independent business owners to use.
Well, independent business owners, basically, the tool sets available out there is just basically having a profile on your users and getting to know who they are. It's a customer service tool. The more communication you have with your customer, the better off your business is. You get utilizing blogs, forums, articles. Profile pages are essential. You have newsletter targeting tools built in these environments. You can have forums with chat rooms and so forth. Instant messaging chat rooms and so forth that have us talking about specific topics. Basically, if you want to get a product out there, there's going to be a lot of questions about what your service offering is. And the tool set provides a two-way communication.
So, Gary, let's talk about some independent business owners, some indies out there who are looking at, I don't know how many options in terms of social networking groups to join. I think I probably get maybe 10 or 20 invitations every week. So you're a small business owner. You have a targeted market. Can you give some basic tips on how a person can choose which type of platform is going to serve them best? And I know you can't really answer that for individuals in a vacuum, but what kind of tips can you provide or principles can people go by to make those kinds of decisions?
You mean as far as like a platform service for your own business?
Right. In terms of actually joining, I want to get into what the platforms are for people who might want to set up their own, but I really mean for this question, Gary, in terms of join. I mean, let me ask you this. You're a popular guy. I think I saw your LinkedIn profile, and there were over 500, if I remember correctly, over 500 connections that you have there. So my guess, Gary, is that you get a lot of invitations to join people's social media platforms, right?
Right. Okay, I understand what you're talking about.
So how do you, I mean, you can't accept them all. So let's just, I'm trying to start broadly and say, you know, what sorts of things do you consider when you get these kinds of invitations? Do you accept them all?
Well, no, the question, well, on LinkedIn, you sort of, and LinkedIn's a different environment. What I think you're asking is, you get all these invitations to join many social networks, and which ones do you choose?
Right, other ones. So what I'm saying is I'm thinking that there must be a lot of connections that you have through LinkedIn who also send you invitations to join other social networking
Correct.
Platforms.
Exactly. So here's basically there's a huge stigma about this. Like all these social networks are popping up. You know, how many?
Gary, can you talk? Can you raise your voice just a little bit for me, please?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks. Oh, that's so much better. Thank you.
The microphones, the headset sort of slipped off. Okay. So basically, there's a stigma about all these social networkings social networkers popping up, and which ones do I join? I can't join all of them. The whole stigma behind this is saying, okay, you have a certain amount of interest in your life, the hobbies and interest. How much time do you have for your hobbies and interest? And then basically, those are the social networks you join. If you're a parent, you're going to join a social network that's like geared around parenting. If you're involved in business, you're going to have a social network around business. So ideally, you want to join the most comprehensive environments geared towards your personal interest. And you can't join 50 of them in the same interest because you don't have time. So the people who build these sites and are the first ones out there are pretty much going to benefit from being the innovators in this particular space and dominate their niche. And as soon as you get these people engaged in this environment, then they're going to stay there. And you're going to provide all the information they're going to need so they won't have to join, you know, 10 different beauty networks. They're very happy with the one, and you provide all the information they need there so they don't have to join any other ones. And this can be the portal for all the other people to talk about that specific interest or that specific genre.
Okay, good. So you just kind of, you have to obviously narrow it down. And when you're a business owner, you're saying you kind of pick the ones that are geared specifically towards your business and just join one or two of them that are serving you well.
Correct.
You talked earlier, Gary, about creating, you know, links into your profile page. Tell us why profile pages are so important on social networking platforms.
Well, profile pages basically gives you information about who your users are. So they have to actually go through a profile process. The profile fields are customizable, so you as a publisher or the site owner can ask any question you want on who your users are. So now this is the opportunity to find out what the demographic of your users are, where they live, what their interests are, how many kids they have, what are their shopping habits. There's a whole bunch of information you're able to achieve by getting a profile information on the user. And that's all customizable based on the information that you want on your user.
So you're talking about the importance of the profile to the owner of the network. But, you know, Gary, I was really asking more specifically towards the member, creating a profile page that can do certain things for their business. Like, do they help enhance search engine rankings if you start using them? How can a member actually use a profile page to expand their business?
So basically, I'm building up a...
Like, if you've joined a social networking group, say you joined Indie Beauty, which
right.
is the new one that I just launched today, and you create a profile. Now, obviously, that helps me because it helps me keep track of you, who you are, how I can help you, and how I can be better able to serve you. But from a member perspective, the person who joins there, obviously, I guess you connect with people, you make some social connections, and you have a good time, hopefully. But in terms of a business, what I'm asking is when you set these platforms up for other business owners, how do you help them tell their users how to make the most of them?
Right. So basically, it's all about the content you provide on your profile page. Obviously, you want to be as comprehensive as you can. And you want to be able to, it's, It is the more content you provide. Obviously, it's all keyword driven, and the keywords are filtered out in the environment that will, are searchable. So if someone's looking for a specific thing inside your environment, they can type in associated keywords and pull up profiles that match that search and pull up specific people that they're looking for.
Right. So those search things are especially useful. And so what about, Gary, once you create your profile page, don't you normally have a link that belongs to you that you can actually use to display all of the information that you want people to know about your business? Maybe even if you're a small business owner, use it as kind of a media kit, sort of, to showcase what you're able to do and link to other places like your website and your blog?
Exactly. I mean, perfectly, you know, LinkedIn/GaryHall.com. Basically, that's a link I can put on all my business cards, all my signature lines, and my emails. And what that happens is someone can click on that and basically go right to your profile page and see all the information on your business. So that works exactly like in your particular environment. Everyone has a unique URL for their profile page. And that URL can be attached to anything to promote traffic back to the page and give more information on their business.
Right. And then they can fan that out to wherever else they want to go, any other locations or personalities that they have on the Internet.
Exactly.
That's great. So when you help clients set up social networking sites, Gary, what kinds of things do people have to consider? We've been talking about members using sites, but let's just say a small business owner wants to start their own. What are some of the things that they need to consider in setting it up? And feel free to talk a little bit about Pringo, because I know you helped to launch that company.
Well, it's basically Pringo's focus. Pringo.com is a enterprise-level software solution, so we cater to larger companies, and there's a substantial budget required for this. Now, there are a lot of other services. Obviously, the one that you use, Ning and KickApps and OneSite, all free services.
Uh-huh.
But it's basically, a lot of companies use the free services to prove their model. And then once they grow to a substantial number and are able to achieve some kind of revenue streams, they step up for a more advanced technology like Pringo.com, which gives you the ability to add more functionality and a lot more robust environment.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. We've got, you know, our listeners are small business owners. Many of them have consulting businesses where they, you know, help other people grow their businesses or provide different types of services to them. So what are some of the things that are common among the social network platforms that you're talking about? I realize that Pringo and other ones are a lot more robust and have, you know, greater financial commitments, but don't they all have some things in common that are basic to all of the structures of all of them?
Yes. So most of them, the basic social networking features, they're similar to the MySpaces and the YouTubes. So you have user profile pages, you got forum, blogs, you have media players, you know, commenting and rating and so forth, and the basic common features of social networking. Those are pretty much consistent throughout all the platforms.
Okay.
Some of the advanced features are mobile integration, plugging in a content management system, segregating groups of people with multiple user levels.
Mm-hmm.
These are advanced features, and then there's a lot of customization options that Pringo provides. So we're a full customized solution where you're able to gear your social network specifically to have a uniqueness and different functionality.
Right, so you customize some of the programs for your clients.
Correct.
Okay. Well, this is great, Gary. We are going to take our first break. We're going to come back and talk some more with Internet marketing strategist Gary Hall. This is Donna Maria, Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the Internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm talking today with Gary Hall. He is an online marketing strategist and one of the most sought-after speakers on the social media circuit. During our first segment, we talked quite a bit about social networking platforms, what they are, what kinds of platforms are available to set them up, and also how to use them so you don't get overwhelmed with all of it. And speaking of overwhelm, Gary, we're talking about social media today. Of course, it's a huge term, and it's insanely popular, and also, I think, integral to any person that wants to use the Internet as a business owner. But I want to broaden things out a little bit, Gary, and ask you for some of your takes on social media and particularly where it's going as we come to the end of 2008 and start 2009. What should we look for as small business owners in terms of using social media to expand our reach and our circle of influence?
Well, the future of the Internet is geared towards more people going to be on the Internet, surfing the Internet more. However, they're going to be surfing less because the demand for more comprehensive and feature-rich environments are going to be expected. Because the tool sets are available and the users are starting to have these communication tools available to them in their everyday life, they're going to expect them in every Internet environment. And pretty much the future is sort of gearing towards that type of model, where there's going to be a profile page, there's going to be user interaction, and that's sort of where the future of the Internet is sort of gearing towards.
Right. So are you saying that for every business owner, they need to kind of put in their marketing tool chest something that recognizes that their target customer is going to continue to be on the Internet but not going to be using it in – they're going to be using it in a more targeted fashion?
Well, yes, but it's also – they're going to find out as far as the – research and development, customer service tool. As far as communicating with your user base in an online environment, saves you money in mainstream. And Internet advertising is still the cheapest form of advertisements. And be able to have access to your user base and your database at any time to send messaging to is hugely important to any business.
Okay. So when you're deciding what direction to take your business in and trying to determine how to best use social media to do that, what are some of the best tools that you see out there right now? In addition to something like we've been talking about, like a social networking site, what are some of the other tools that you think are the most useful? Because there's so many to choose from. What's your experience?
Well, the basic social media tool sets are essential. I mean, as far as that, basically what you're doing is you're creating a unique environment consistent towards your brand or your industry.
So let's start with one tool. Obviously, if you're selling something, beauty products, for example, you need a website that's e-commerce equipped so you can have people buy things. That's the first thing. That's one of the first things anyway, right?
Correct.
So let's expand from there. I mean, you got to get people there, and you don't have money to put ads on the side of a bus or on Super Bowl commercials. So what can a small business owner do to use social media to get people to that space?
Well, you count on your viralness.
Okay, viral. What do you mean by that?
Viral is word of mouth, basically telling, I have this great went to this great website, and I want to tell my friends about it. I have this great product. They're offering these huge discounts on this particular product, and if you register, you get points and rewards for being a part of the community and contributing, and you get special discounts on products. So you're utilizing the tool set to upsell, and because the environment's so comprehensive about this specific industry, you're going to want to share it with your friends. And then because I've shared it with so many friends, you as the publisher are going to reward me in some capacity. So you're going to give me discounts on your specific products if I invite 10 friends.
Hi.
And it goes on and on and on from there.
Okay. Okay. Now, Gary, can you put yourself in the position of advising a company that sells a product, and they're really not interested in having, like, a social networking platform built for themselves, but they want to be able to use at least one network like that and other social media tools to sell their products? What sorts of things do you see out there that would serve them in a good capacity?
Well, obviously, social media tools, as far as getting feedback on your products.
Yeah, for getting feedback and generating sales. I mean, things like Twitter and, you know, there's so many, there's a couple of other micro-blogging sites that have come up, but Twitter is definitely the one that's most well-known and probably the most well-used. And also blogs, too. I mean, are these things that businesses should be integrating together as we, you know, go into the new year? Should they be thinking about integrating tools like these in order to expand their circle of influence?
But see, blogs have always been a prerequisite to social media. Blog is probably one of the first tools used out there to introduce social networking to a specific environment.
So is it difficult for a small business owner to participate in social media if they don't have a blog of their own, or at least not participating in the blogosphere somehow?
Well, if you have a product, you need to have, if you want information on your product and you want to be able to have some kind of feedback from your customer base, blogging is the first step. As the first step to doing that, that's one of the primary tools of social networking, that would be, and profile pages.
What if you hate to write? What if you just aren't a writer and you're a small business owner? Do you have to hire somebody, or can you participate in other people's blogs that, you know, that do connect you with your target audience, or do you have to have your own? Let me just ask it that way. Does a business owner have to have a website and a blog?
No. The website, both of them are mixed. The blog is inside the website.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Do you have to have a blog, period, wherever it's located?
Oh, no, of course not. You don't have to have anything. It's basically, you can actually have a video up. You can have a video blog. I mean, if you're not a writer and you want to go ahead and post a video and get the capabilities in that environment, that's widely used as well.
Okay, so you could use pictures. I guess you could get videos that are useful to your target market off of places where you're allowed to get the embed code, like YouTube and other places like that, to save yourself the trouble of writing, if that's not something you want to do.
That's correct. But you're not really writing a blog. Your users are. So basically,
well,
let's
talk about that, too. Let's talk about that, Gary. I'm glad you said that, because I think so many people who are new to blogging, or new to their own blog, everybody knows what a blog is, but new to setting one up on their own, they think that they have to do all of the content generation themselves. Talk about why they don't.
All you have to do is say, it's basically just stimulating a topic of a conversation. Why is the Pacific Ocean nicer than the Atlantic Ocean? And now all of a sudden, you get everyone talking about that and giving their opinion on it. So it's that simple. I mean, you can get as more comprehensive as far as what you're instigating the conversation about, but it's not writing a whole slew of content. It's basically stimulating a topic of a conversation. And then the users engage. And then what happens is the users will write something, and someone will comment on their response, and so on and so on and so on. So basically, it's a very simple thing to do.
So you're creating a community at your blog where people are talking to not only to you, but to each other.
Correct. They'll comment on the specific topic of the blog, and they'll also comment on other people's comments.
Right. So that should help some people that are kind of starting out in the blogosphere to kind of take a deep breath and realize that you don't have to do all of the work yourself. You can ask some questions and get people talking. And Gary, so do you recommend that the blog always be inside the website where the e-commerce is taking place?
Well, it's always good to get giving it a... If people are interested in your blog, they're coming back to your site when they can view the products for purchase.
You want to be able to do that.
It's always good to do that. I mean, you want to be able to direct people to your site as much as possible. And if a blog's responsible for that, then the chance of them making a purchase is much more likely.
Okay, Gary, so you've got a blog, you've got a website, and things are rolling along pretty good, and you've gotten some good feedback, good comments. What sorts of other things do you suggest? Again, there's so many to choose from, and I know you can't, you know, say what's right for everyone, but what are some of the other tools that you think integrate well into being able to, you know, expand your circle of influence again if you have a blog and a website? Where do you go next? Again, you're talking about creating, you know, this viral sort of thing. You have to be more than one, but you almost have to be everywhere, right? But you use technology to do that for you, so you don't have to do it yourself.
Correct. And then one important tools of you having the profile pages is being able to upsell them as well. Introducing the new products. And keep them updated. So we have a newsletter targeting tool. Say you want to send out a bulletin to people who just use a specific product, who just purchased maybe a skincare product. So you know they're into skincare products, and they're able to track the purchase. You're able to know that they purchase a certain item on an ongoing basis. So a new product comes out, you're going to go ahead and want to market to that person specifically right away. Before you even introduce it, you can actually send them an email saying this product's going to be introduced at this time. We're letting you know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically making the user feel special in some capacity by having an open line of communication.
Making the user feel special by having an open line of communication. So that sort of boils it all down, doesn't it? No matter what tool you're using, you want your target to feel special, and you want to be accessible to them.
Correct. I mean, having access to major name brands are utilizing these tool sets because the money they spend in research and development is in the millions. If you have access to your customer base on an ongoing basis, you can have surveys and polls at any time and reward them by them participating with discounts on free products and so forth. That's a huge, huge savings that we're saving in millions of dollars in research and development. Plus, they can utilize these engagements at any time.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, Gary, because that's an interesting point. Let's talk about that for a second from this perspective of an indie business owner who may be competing with some of those big companies. It sounds like, is it true that to some extent, be it large or small, depending on what your resources as a small business owner are, that you have access to a lot of the same technologies, the same types of technological tools that large companies do in order to access your target customers?
Correct.
So that's a beautiful thing, right? I mean, I don't know, maybe it's not so profound to you, but it's an eye-opening thing, I think, to a lot of independent business owners that I talk to when they kind of look at the internet landscape and see that all the tools that they use as a customer of large companies, many of them are available, maybe not on the same grand scale, but many of the same types of tools that you just described are available to small business owners used in the same way, just without all the extra bells and whistles.
Right, and plus they have huge marketing budgets to drive people to the site. But as an indie, as a small company, you have to. More people, because of the recession and the times that people are having right now, you need to go to the internet. You need to go ahead and benefit from the inexpensive way to build business. And internet is still the fastest and easiest way to reach a large number of people, and it's least expensive. And so people are going towards the internet and providing these comprehensive tool sets to keep people engaged. It's just not getting traction now.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, you would think that social networking has been around forever, but people always had the stigma that it's geared for children, kids. It's just a kid's tool. And that stigma lasted for quite some time. And a lot of major companies are reluctant to have these tools in their environments because of that. But now they're realizing that because of the Facebooks and the MySpaces in the world, they basically introduced that users want their voices to be heard, and it's a huge market. And basically what they did is they sort of set the landscape for finding other ways to utilize the tool sets in other environments in different ways. Now, when MySpace is a very broad, MySpace is basically geared towards any topic. Now we have social networks popping up for all specific interest groups.
Right.
And that's where the future of the internet is sort of gearing towards. very specific groups based on one specific topic, and the information in that environment is going to be incredibly comprehensive.
It sounds like it. That's very interesting. We've got to go to our last break. We're talking with Gary Hall, and he is sharing a lot of his expertise and even some of his forecasting. Gary has a little bit of a crystal ball here, so we're going to come back and ask him to read it a little bit more for us so we can get all the information we can out of what he thinks social networking can do for an indie business. This is Donna Maria, Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we're talking with online marketing strategist and social media expert, Gary Hall. And Gary's been sharing with us from his experience a little bit about what he's forecasting for the Internet over the next several years. And I think this is critical for anyone who uses the Internet for anything to kind of understand. So, Gary, I kind of want to backtrack for a second and ask you to go into a little bit more depth about what you said before we took our break, and that was that the future of the Internet is going directly towards user communities that are centered around specific interests. Is that
correct?
A good summary of what you said?
Yeah, common affinity groups, special interest, really niche-oriented sites.
So is an indie business owner served well by, again, we're selling products here, by creating some sort of social platform, whatever it may be, to rally their target market around particular topics that are relevant to their business?
Yes. Obviously, if you're in the beauty industry, obviously, wouldn't it be better if you're able to provide some expertise on your industry?
So you could have, like, if you make organic candles, for example, using organic soy wax or something, you could consider different things associated with that to be like the subject matter that draws people to you.
Of course, you can be the information portal on wax, on candle wax, and you can bring in articles from other environments through RSS. So you don't necessarily have to write the content yourself. You can pull it from other means and post it in your environment. So if you're a portal for all the candle information on the web and displayed in your environment, then the person just goes to you to find out information on that specific product. And then while they're reading all this information on this product, they have the ability to buy it from you.
Oh, you said that. Like, is that automatic?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
I know, I'm asking that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but assuming everything looks nice and it functions well and the content is good, I don't know how we would possibly measure this. I guess you'd have to have a whole lot of money. But for a small business owner, is it a good risk to put the kind of effort into creating a place like that? If it's good quality, well, does that necessarily lead to sales?
Well, yeah. It sort of positions you as an expert in a specific category.
So not only does it lead to sales, then if you're an expert, it also leads to probably other opportunities.
Correct. So, and it isn't difficult to do. I mean, bringing an RSS feed into your profile page is really simple.
Right.
I mean, what's the difference of RSS feed?
Well, that's good that you said that, too, because at our new Indie Beauty site, I've noticed that some members have imported their RSS feed into their profile page. And when you click on it, there's an article there. When you click on it, if you want to click on it, you end up going straight to their blog, which is, as you said, located where their shopping cart is.
Correct.
So that, is that kind of the flow chart that we go from? You to choose the right social media outlets for you, you have to be able to kind of do a flow chart back to your ultimate goal, whatever that is. And if it's selling products, then you kind of want to create something that goes back to that.
Correct. I mean, RSS feeds. A lot of people don't know what these words mean.
Let's tell them that then. What is that?
Really simple syndication.
And what is that?
RSS. It's an RSS feed. That's what RSS stands for.
Okay,
really simple syndication.
Dear Abby is a syndicated newspaper column. Is there a parallel there?
Well, basically, you can actually syndicate any feed or any content out. So basically, as part of having your own website, you can actually syndicate your own content out to other vehicles. So any end user can pull your RSS out and put it on their profile for it, so they have access to it every day. And it's really simple to put an RSS, just cut and paste a code on your site. You have access to that content on a regular basis.
So this is really good. I think this is going to help a lot of people for a variety of reasons, Gary, not the least of which is, as you know, indie business owners are wearing all the hats. You know, they're doing the manufacturing, they're doing the marketing, the sales, and oftentimes, you know, this is their sole source of income, so they're doing trade shows and all those kinds of things. So being able to use technology in this way to kind of, I kind of call it creating your own sort of newsroom for your business. Go ahead.
But it's also basically it's saving you time in the long run.
Uh-huh.
I mean, basically, if you're a small business owner, you have to focus your time on prioritize your time. And obviously, the more time that you save, the more time you have to focus on generating revenue for your small company. So the internet provides a much easier tool for customer service. If you're doing trade shows, you have all the information for follow up in this environment. You're able to facilitate transactions in your website much easily. You're able to track the transactions. There's billing tools that you can pull in there with APIs, API integration, so you can have invoice processing. All that technology you can plug into this environment to make your whole process easier. The internet is geared towards ultimately making life easier and making things faster.
Right. And so, Gary, do you talk with any small business owners in your travels who just feel sort of overwhelmed by all of this? There's so much. I mean, the principles that you're talking about are really, really quite basic. And what I have discovered, and I'd like to know if you agree, is that, you know, once you can get through kind of the learning curve about understanding a little bit about it, you really can put it on automatic pilot.
Correct. And the stigma towards the internet and social networks for the older demographic, for the older age group, they're very intimidated by it because we don't know it. The information is we think it's so complicated, the technology, but it's really simple.
You know what, Gary? I found that that's not just the case with the older demographic, as you mentioned, like boomers, but I have found that even people that aren't in that category, because they have so many things to do and they're wearing so many hats, it's not afraid of it. It's just, you know, where do I start?
Exactly, and it just the lack of knowledge in the space is very intimidating, and you know, so not knowing what's available out there, and making the effort to find out what's available there is a huge hurdle for a lot of people in certain industries.
But you've got to do it, right? I mean, you're saying from what you said about where the industry is going, where the internet's going, you absolutely have to make time to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have to you're going to do it now and be a forerunner, or you're going to do it 2 years from now and be just getting on the tail end of it. Your business is going to have to embrace the tool sets sometime. You might as well do it now and benefit from being an innovator instead of somebody's picking up at the end of the gate.
And then what happens, Gary, is once you start, you can start taking this like one bite-sized chunk at a time, right? You can kind of look at the big picture, right, and then kind of go, okay, I have a website with e-commerce, great product photos, I've got that set up, I'm going to put my blog there. It's not hard to have somebody put a blog there using WordPress, right, or maybe another platform.
Yeah, vBulletin, WordPress, or I mean, even the Ning's got a blog. Everyone's got blog technology you can throw up there on a website, correct?
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, so you get past that, and then you just kind of, you know, keep, as you mentioned earlier, the kind of flow chart. It's, you know, staying in touch with my customers and making it easy for them to access me.
Correct.
If a new technology allows you to do that, then if it works, then chances are it's worth your time to at least investigate it.
Exactly, because what's going to happen? You're going to have some idea of what your social network is going to be like. You're going to try to guess what your users want. But ultimately, your site's going to morph, and your users are going to give their input. That's what's great about user-generated tools, is that you have feedback from your end user, and your users will pretty much condone the future of your site. Your site will morph into what the users want, and ultimately, that's you as a publisher, and that's what you want to do. You want to create a robust environment that makes your users happy.
Well, you know what, Gary? I'm glad you said that, too. You keep saying things that I'm really glad you said, because what you're describing is exactly what I went through this weekend. I launched the website on Friday night, and over the weekend, my members started joining and saying, do this, do that, fix this, fix that, we want this, we want that. And so that's an example, right, of what happens on a blog or what happens anyplace else that you have information and community wherever you are, right? Your customers tell you what they want, and then you use technology to give it to them, and that's what keeps them coming back for more.
Exactly. And even on specific products, you have the ability to take polls and surveys.
Right.
You get a product, say, you know, this particular product is a little oily for me, right? And then
right.
All of a sudden, somebody, one of the users posts a blog, did you find this product to be a little bit oilier than you're comfortable with? And all of a sudden, you realize that one particular product is a little oily. Then you make an adjustment in your formula, and you take out less oil, and then all of a sudden, you know that you made your product better based on your user feedback. And you have access, and it's easily accessible anytime you want. You have free samples to users, just to try the product to get feedback on.
And they can come to your blog and leave their feedback or come to your networking site and do that.
Just come to the site and they can get their comment on specific products.
So you can set up the technology to allow them to invite their friends to come and invite their friends to give feedback. And so that's what you're talking about in terms of the viral nature of it, is that once you put it out there, it almost takes on a life of its own because it repeats itself without you having to do it.
Correct.
Okay. That's really, this is very good, I think, for small businesses to hear you say too, Gary, because it's so, what you're essentially saying is that you have to build it before you know that they will come.
Right.
And it's always the case in business, but, you know, it's sometimes, I think, for some people a little bit overwhelming and scary to do that because, you know, a lot of the platforms that we're talking about are free or almost free, but it takes a huge amount of brain power and time, you know, time resource to understand it and implement it in a way that you can make it be effective. But you're, again, saying that it's part of what you're going to have to do to prepare your business for the next 10 years.
Correct. If you want to grow substantially and faster, you have to utilize these tool sets.
Okay. So you have written some white papers and some other PowerPoint presentations, right, that are helpful. Tell us a little bit about those. I know I'm going to make those available to listeners, but can you give us a little overview about what they are so we can know what to expect?
Well, I just put together I was published on AOL by Tom Talley about my predictions for this year as far as where the future of the Internet's gearing towards.
Is there a link? Is there a link for that?
I don't have a link. I just have a presentation that I can probably I'll send to you, and you can probably post it on your site for people to download.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay,
and obviously, what people
either
to
about
site,
what
is a great way to drive people to your site and register.
All right, so we're gonna see your suggestions in action here. Just do as you say and as you do.
Well, yeah, just basically some trends. I mean, there's basically defining what the tool sets do, like the stickiness, site stickiness, brand loyalty, customer service.
Right, and these are things that even if you don't want to quote-unquote set up your own social networking site, your papers have a lot of principles that any business owner can use to create, as you just described, the stickiness and the return and the viral quality of what you're doing?
Well, basically what I'm explaining is how what social media does.
Okay.
The whole concept of what I do is I base all my strategy around embracing social networking tools into
Good.
Your environment, how they work.
Good. Well,
and
we can't wait to get our hands on that then.
Yeah, and it that's what I do for large corporations. Large corporations, they don't know how to introduce the tool set into their environment. And then they don't know how to properly monetize that traffic either. And so what I do is I say, okay, we had to introduce this tool set in phase one, and these are the revenue streams behind it, whether it be advertising, subscription, e-commerce,
mm-hmm.
or any type of there's so many different verticals that spawn from social networking. It's just like a snowball effect.
Right. You just got to get started and get it out there. You know, Gary, I found you on Pringo. I'm not sure how I landed at Pringo, but, you know, I have not been able to find a website for you. Have I just not been looking hard enough?
A website for me personally?
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay, well, no wonder I couldn't find it. I did find your LinkedIn profile, so I was able to connect with you there. But tell us a little bit about how do we get in touch with you if we have a friend with a larger company. I know your service is particularly geared towards larger companies. What is the best way to get in touch with you if we want more information?
Gary@pringo.com.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
And we cater to not just large companies. We do for small businesses. But
okay.
Our pricing point starts maybe, you know, from $25,000 up to $300,000.
Okay.
For a platform. So we're, you know, depending on what your budget is, there's a wide range of services that we provide in you know, there. But what I did with you particularly, you called me up looking for a social networking platform, and you told me your situation, and then I recommended another alternative.
You sure did. And here we are today launching it, and I have to say it's the most fun I've had in my whole life. And I owe it all to you, Gary, because you talked to me, you took my call out of the blue, knowing that I wasn't one of those big, huge customers that had a ton of cash, and you helped me anyway, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate that, and my members do too now, because they are all over this website having a good time meeting each other and expanding their businesses at IndieBeauty.com. So thank you so much, Gary, for your time joining today. I will look for the link. You guys, if you want the article that Gary wrote, just email me at info@IndieBusinessRadio, and I'll send it to you, or you can go to IndieBeauty.com. I'll make it available there as well. Thank you so much for joining, Gary.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Next week, you guys, I want you to know I've got another great show coming up. Next week, my guest will be Master Certified Group Coach Wendy Y. Bailey. She'll be joining me to share the benefits of group coaching and how you can use it to connect with the right people to help you reach your goals and expand your business. And, of course, I'll be connecting with you on IndieBeauty.com. Come on over and join hundreds of indies as we connect, collaborate, and succeed. I'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Radio. Until then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.